Join the Temple Emmanuel clergy every week for Talmud class, where Wes, Michelle, Elias, Aliza, and Dan discuss and debate a variety of Jewish issues and make connections between our sacred texts and the realities of our lives. Watch our live stream at 8:30 on Saturday mornings or listen to the podcast at your convenience, all at templeemmanuel.com.
How do you process? How do you process a world in which doing the right thing, the kind thing, opening your doors to someone in need, offering them warmth and a cup of tea and conversation, can lead you to be held hostage at gunpoint? How do you process a world in which synagogues and Jewish organizations study security protocols, de-escalation techniques, emergency drills as a matter of course? A world in which our children are so inured to the possibility of sudden violence, so accustomed to active shooter drills that they are not shocked. They are not surprised. They take this all in stride. And how do you process a world in which someone flies across the world to find some Jews to use as his pawn? How do you process a world in which someone could be so steeped in anti-Semitic tropes that he believes that Jews run the world? That if he just takes a synagogue hostage, if he just calls a rabbi, under pressure, they'll be able to pull some strings to make his hateful dreams come true. And how do you process a world in which the FBI refuses to acknowledge that this was an anti-Semitic incident? All the way up until Thursday, they were claiming it was just a terrorism-related incident that the Jewish community happened to get caught up in. How do you process that when the FBI produced the report in 2018, which showed that even though Jews constitute only about 2% of the population of this country, we are victim to almost 60% of religiously motivated hate crimes? This was not unique, but it was uniquely heartbreaking. Because each one of us could feel the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the triggers of generations of trauma, hardship, and oppression. We could feel it in our bodies. We've learned those stories from birth. We've lived those stories. And our ancestors have sown it into every fiber of our liturgy, determined to make sure that every single day we would face the harsh reality that is our world. Every day, our liturgy demands that we look at evil, at enemies, at betrayal, at struggle, at solitude. Every day in our Amidah, we ask God to make prostrate the hopes of those who malign us. Every High Holidays, we read in our High Holiday Psalm that evildoers, that foes threaten. Wars are on the horizon. They seek to destroy us. Every year we come to Shabbat Zachor. We're going to come to it in just a few weeks, the Shabbat on which we acknowledge that Jews have and have always had enemies that seek to destroy us. How do we face this harsh reality with honesty, strength, and with hope? This week, I've been remembering a song that I learned years ago.
Courage, my friend, you do not walk alone. I will walk with you and sing your spirit home.
It's a song that was first sung in the 80s during the anti-apartheid struggle in South Africa. It was a bleak time for activists then. So many wise leaders were incarcerated, like Nelson Mandela behind bars for trumped up charges, silly reasons, and for inconceivably long sentences without any hope of reprieve. Being incarcerated there wasn't just a static reality. It meant suffering daily indignities, regular torture and abuse, and unending solitude. To pass the time in jail, activists used to sing to one another. From cell to cell, their voices would rise.
Courage, my friend.
They would weave in names, letting each other know who was in jail and any information they had from the outside, using the song to conceal their words so they could be in communication. And though every man sat alone in his cell, though every man faced his own fate, that song reminded them that they were part of something larger. The song wasn't just a comfort to activists. It was an affirmation, an aspiration, which became a prophetic truth. Around the world, people were becoming aware, becoming outraged of what was happening in South Africa. People began marching in the streets, demanding justice and equality for all people. Governments got involved. The United States and Britain and 23 others instituted economic sanctions. And it was only then, when the world tuned in, when people marched from coast to coast, when this song reverberated around the globe, that's when the tides turned. Ever since, this song has been a source of strength for activists everywhere. It's sung at marches and rallies, at organizational meetings and actions. It's sung in moments of despair, as a reminder that people have been through hard times before, that activists have been through struggles before, and they made it through. This song is a prayer that we will too.
Courage, my friend. You do not walk alone. I will walk with you and sing your spirit home.
So easy. It's so easy to stop singing in the face of fear. It's so easy to let our anxieties force us into silence. But we must keep singing. Through the fear, through the worry, we must keep singing because we too have the power to sing our prayers into prophetic reality. That's what Rabbi Charlie did. Before the hostage situation was even remotely resolved, there were stories after stories coming out about his incredible kindness and Menschlichkeit. About how when he was in college, he spent 2 days living on the streets to learn what it might be like to be homeless, to expand his capacity for compassion. About how he worked after college in Focus Hope, a Detroit-based organization that seeks to support underrepresented populations, providing them with education, job training, and employment services. About how he then became the assistant director here in Massachusetts at the Amherst Survival Center, providing people with emergency support. And when he became a rabbi, his rabbinate was all about making sure that no one felt alone, making sure everyone in his midst knew he was with them. He invited local imam and community members from the local mosque to join him at his synagogue. He built relationships with churches and other faith-based organizations. And he didn't just invite people in. He went out. He showed up to celebrate Eid and Ramadan. He showed up to build thoughtful, intentional interfaith programming, opportunities for community members to build relationships, and he walked his talk. He made friends with people of every age and stage, profession and belief. Because of Rabbi Charlie's kindness, because he made sure no one around him felt alone. Last week wasn't just a reminder that the threats of anti-Semitism are very real. It was also a reminder that we do not walk alone. In a local church, as the hostage situation was unfolding, religious leaders gathered. There was Pastor Bob Roberts Jr., Imam Omar Sulaimin, Azhar Aziz, a former president of the Islamic Society of North America, Rabbi Mark Paley, all there in solidarity and in prayer for their friends at the synagogue. When the local police chief was interviewed on the local news, he said, "This is very personal for me. Quote, the rabbi is a friend of mine, a close friend. I'm a Christian. I am a believer. I've activated those prayer networks." Local police chief, "This is personal. The rabbi is a friend of mine." Experts flew in from across the country to provide wisdom and guidance and de-escalation techniques. And all the while, volunteers showed up with food and drinks and support for would-be rescuers. In the wake of the traumatic events of last week, we have a mission. Be like Rabbi Charlie. We cannot become more insular. As the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said and taught, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that.
Courage, my friend. You do not walk alone. We will walk with you and sing your spirit home.
Shabbat Shalom.